Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid at mga kaibigan sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. Sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pag-aaral sa ating Sunday School ng Christian Holiness, tayo pa rin ay nasa paksa ng means of grace o mga kasangkapan ng biyaya na itinitindig natin sa prinsipyo that God supplies graces but He ordinarily uses ordained means to activate the Spirit and the Word. Kaya ang proseso pa rin ay simula sa paglalayon na maging banal. Inaalam natin ang mga kasalanang dapat patayin, mga biyayang dapat linangin, at may mga pamantayan na dapat nating ipamuhay, ngunit hindi kumpleto yan kung wala ang paggamit ng mga kasangkapan. So the execution of means completes the cycle. At sa ating pag-aaral ng means ay narito na tayo sa corporate means of grace at nasa usapin tayo ng disiplina kung saan tinilagay natin sa tinatawag ng Reformed Theology na marks of a true church in comparison to a roadmap. Ang essential mark ay ang proclamation of the word and the gospel, but there are two maintaining marks, namely the administration of the sacraments na natapos na nating pag-aralan, at ang ikalawa ay ang exercise of discipline na siya nating pinag-aaralan ngayon. Kaya may dalawang ganyang kategorya ay sapagkat a church may be true at one time without the maintaining marks. Maaaring nagpapahayag lang ng salita ng Diyos at ng Ebanghelyo, ngunit kung nagkukulang sa maintaining marks, it is still a true church, but without maintaining marks, a church will not perpetuate for generations to come. At sa pag-aaral natin ng disiplina, ay tiningnan natin ito sa positibong bahagi bilang formative discipline. This is the positive dimension of discipline or discipling. Pero ang pinag-uukulan natin ang pansin ay ang corrective discipline, the application of measured censure for the purpose of restoration. Tinanong natin, ang unang katanungan dito ay where is authority of discipline derived, o ang tinatawag na power of key, at narito tayo ngayon sa ikalawang tanong. What offenses merit discipline or matters for censure? Hindi lahat ng kasalanan ay dapat na maging usapin ng disiplina because there are internal offenses. They are not to be matters for censure because we are all guilty of internal offenses. But censure pertains to public offenses. At dito, tiningnan natin noong nakaraan ng isa lamang bahagi o unang bahagi ng matter for censure, doctrinal offenses, and they include heresies, yung lumalabag sa Ebanghelyo, schism, lumalabag sa pinagkasunduang paniniwala ng Iglesia, at fanaticism, kung saan ang opinion ay ginagawang dogma o something of a doctrinal matter. Now, the official teaching of the church must be from biblical authority, but there are parameters to say that that particular church is teaching according to biblical authority dahil lahat ay nagaangkin na sila ay nagtuturo ng Biblia. So, those two parameters are the confession of faith, which we do have, and then ministerial authority. But then, we ended last week with the question, is the minister censurable for his teaching? And I answer with a resounding yes, but I explained that, and I hope the explanation properly qualifies what I mean by that. Ang kasunod na titingnan natin sa katanungan pa rin, now, what offenses merit discipline or matters for censure, ay titingnan natin ngayon ang moral offenses. These are action behavior that violates moral Christian standards. May mga kapagawa o may mga ugali na lumalabag sa mga pamantayang pamumuhay ng Kristiyano. May tinawag si Apostol Pablo tungkol dito in 2 Thessalonians 3:14 and 15. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now in the context, the word that Paul uses to describe this person is that it is a behavior which is in disorder. Ang maganda ang salitang ginamit niya rito, kalimitan sa karaniwang Griego ay ginagamit ito sa pagmamartsa ng isang lupon ng mga kawal. At kapag may lumihis sa pagmamartsa, eh, kitang-kita Sa mga katuwid, tumutukoy ito sa kitang-kita na uri ng lakad o pamumuhay na hindi maitatago, nakikita ng lahat sapagkat hindi siya sumasang-ayon sa kung anong utos ang ibinigay ng commander. At ganun ang tinutukoy na disorder in the church when the lifestyle or behavior is such of a nature that everybody can see what he is doing in terms of violating a standard. So, ang mailalagay natin dito na moral offense meriting church censure, ang una ay matters of earthly vocation and testimony. Mga bagay na may kinalaman sa ating panawagan sa mundo at ang patutuo natin sa mundo. May ganitong sinabi si Apostol Pablo in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. Make it your aim to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to earn your own living, just as we told you before. In this way, you will win the respect of those who are not believers, and you will not have to depend on anyone for what you need. So, he is mindful of those who are not believers. In other translations, it is about the outsiders. So, believers must be mindful of unbelievers. Anong sasabihin nila? At maging sa iyong panawagan o may, kaya naman wala kang trabahong isinasakatuparan sa iyong pamumuhay, eh, ito'y magiging maling patutuo o mantsa sa patutuo ng isang mananampalataya at sumasaklaw ito ng pagdidisiplina sa iglesia. Kaya sa mga bagay na ito, isasama ko ay una, family irresponsibility. Now, I already said last week that there are matters of family issues, disputes, quarrels that should be dealt with privately within the family at hindi na kailangang ipalakihin pa at palalain sa disiplina ng iglesia. Ngunit may mga bagay na dahilan sa kawalan ng tamang responsibilidad, nakikita sa mundo, nakikita ng publiko. At kasama rin ang sinabi ni Pablo in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, if any provide not for his own and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, there is here a statement of judgment. Such a life of not providing as responsibly as one could for his own family, and this goes especially for fathers, it is a lifestyle that is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that is a judgment statement, and therefore a matter for discipline. You are to treat such a person who is irresponsible about his duty to provide for the family. Hindi natin pinag-uusapan dito ang isang nawala ng trabaho na hindi naman niya ginusto, pero dahil sa crisis ngayon, maraming nawawala ng trabaho. Hindi yan. Ang tinutukoy dito ay ang ayaw magtrabaho para siya makapag-provide sa kanyang pamilya. It becomes family irresponsibility that will be a matter of earthly testimony that is a spot on the Christian reputation. So, family disorder inconsistent with faith. That is part of a moral offense that should merit church censure. And then, isasama ko rito ang escalating conflict. Sinabi ko rin na interpersonal conflict hanggat maaari, wag nang palakihin, wag nang palalain, at maayos na ang sigalot ng dalawa o tatlo o ilang kapatiran na nagkakaroon ng mga usapin, at wag na nilang palakihin para maging usaping disiplina sa iglesia. Pero may mga panahon na hindi nakakaya yan, kaya't nagtalaga ang salita ng Diyos ng mga kaparaanan kung paanong ang mga ganyang sigalot ay huwag maging dahilan para maging mantsa sa patutuo ng iglesia. So, in 1 Corinthians 6, again, this is the context I've already explained before about Christians who have dealings with each other in earthly business, and it comes to a point that their disputes are put forward in human courts. At yan ang sinaway ni Pablo. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? ang pinupuntrihan ni Pablo ay malalaking bagay ang masasama tayo sa gawaing paghahatol, lalo sa katapusan, ay yung mga maliliit na bagay ng mundo dapat maaring harapin ng isang iglesia at hindi napalakihin para maging mantsa sa patutuo ng iglesia. So Christian conflict must not spill over to the world. That's why it has to be fixed, repaired, reconciled within the church. And if there are disputes to settle, the church may take censure action in order to not let conflict become a matter for legal actions between brethren. And then, alalahanin natin dahil kung bakit ito na isasama at sinasaklaw ng disiplina, conduct that discredits testimony in the world merits censure. And sapagkat ang iglesia ay umiiba sa mundo at kapag meron kang pamumuhay, pag-uugali na ang patutuo mo ay nagiging dahilan para maging usapan sa mundo at maging discredit sa mundo, it will merit censure. Discipline challenges the offender to identify with the church in conduct. Kaya hindi lang doktrina, maaring a member is identifying with the church in doctrine, he is not guilty of any doctrinal offense, but it is possible to be guilty of a moral offense, in which case you are not identifying with the standard of the church morally, then it is as much a discredit to the world. In fact, more a discredit to the world, because the world does not mind so much your doctrine, but the world will see your life. Makikita ng mundo ang buhay mo at ito ay magiging mantsa sa kanilang paningin. But it also, the act of discipline also tells the world that the offense is not countenanced, hindi pinababayaan. Hindi winawalang bahala ng iglesia. Kaya kung malaman ng mundo na may ganitong masamang ginawa ang isang miyembro, hindi nila sasabihin na, di ba miyembro ka ng ganyang iglesia at pinabayaan mo lang, at sasabihin natin hindi natin pinabayaan kundi nagkaroon ng usaping disiplina. So the offense, however, must be that which is persistent conduct that damages testimony. Hindi natin pinag-uusapan dito yung singular action or misstep or mistake, all of which we are all capable of falling into. Lahat tayo nagkakamali, lahat tayo ay maaring matisod sa isang usapin ng pagkilos, ng pag-uugali. At hindi itong pinag-uusapan natin na agad disiplinahin ang iglesia. Ang pinag-uusapan natin ay kung saan nagpapatuloy at ito'y nakikita na there will be an element of knowledge and deliberateness on the part of the offender. Such a moral offense will merit censure by the church. In fact, failure of discipline in unchristian conduct in the world puts the church in disrepute because of the offender. Ikakabit ng mundo ang maling pamumuhay, ang masamang pamumuhay ng isang miyembro ng iglesia, hindi maiwasang ikabit sa iglesia kahit na gawin nila unfairly, pero mangyayari, at kung walang disiplina ay it will justify fairly or unfairly the thinking of the world. So hindi pwedeng sabihin na ay trabaho nila yon, patutuo nila yon, pabayaan mo sila, walang pakialam o panghihimasok ang iglesia. Mayroon kung ito ay nagiging mantsa sa patutuo ng iglesia. Kasama sa moral offenses ay ang matatawag nating scandalous offense, ang pagsalangsang na nagiging iskandalo sa mundo. Ano ba itong scandalous offense? There is no direct definition we could cite in scripture, though there are texts that tell us in what way we can weigh a scandalous offense. But here is the thought of one important reformer, John Calvin, who said in his Institutes that scandalous offense refers to those sins witnessed not by one or two persons, but committed openly and to the offense of the entire church. Now, hindi niya nilalagyan to ng bilang. na sinabi niya rito 1 or 2, ibig sabihin pag 3 na o 4 ay scandalous offense na. Ang kanyang contrast ay 1 or 2 meaning of a small circle, and then the contrast is one that is committed openly and to the offense of the entire church. Kung na sasadlak na ang buong iglesia sa ganitong maling patutuo dahil sa iskandalong ginawa ng buhay o gawain ng isang miyembro ng iglesia, it becomes a scandalous offense. So by its nature, a scandalous offense is not a private offense but is of public knowledge. Isang halimbawa ang sinabi ni Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone is his father's wife. So here is an incestuous relationship that is not even acceptable to the world. But the point that I want to make here is yung sinabi rito ni Paul, it is actually reported. So magiging usap-usapan na, naiulat na, at ito ay matatawag nating scandalous offense. So offenses that are contemptuous even to unbelievers call for swift action. Yung mga pagsalangsang, mga kasalanan na nagiging kapintasan maging sa mga hindi mananampalataya ay dapat mabilis na kumilos ang iglesia upang ito ay disiplinahin. Anong maiisasama natin dito? Isang immoral relationships. Sabi ng Ephesians 5, 3, and 4, but sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. So may tinawag siya ritong sexual immorality, impurity that should not even be heard of. Now in some translations, ang ginamit ay not even named, at ginamit ito ng iba na sabihin ni hindi pwedeng banggitin, na hindi pwedeng pag-usapan. Hindi, ang sinasabi riyan ay kung napag-uusapan na ng iba, kung napag-uusapan na sa labas ng iglesia ang sexual immorality and impurity and iba pang mga binanggit dito, then it becomes part of what we call scandalous offense, immoral relationships, and then criminal violations. Nang sumulat si Pedro sa mga inuusig ng mga mananampalataya, may sinabi siya sa 1 Peter 4:15, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. He mentions here what were in those days crimes against Roman laws. At hindi sa ganung bagay dapat magdusa ang isang mananampalataya. At may sasama natin dito ang financial frauds, because in fact, the most telling discipline that we know of in the Jerusalem Church in the book of Acts is that of Ananias and Sapphira, and the discipline came from the Lord, and the discipline was one of death for both Ananias and Sapphira, and it shows that God takes seriously the matter of our financial integrity. That too will come under the umbrella of scandalous offense. Kung ito'y mahayag sa mundo, ay malaking katitisuran para sa pangalan at reputasyon ng iglesia. Tandaan natin, again, when we talk of scandalous offense, the offense is of public knowledge, not of small circle. Eh, kung ang iskandalo ay mangyari dahil isiniwalat na hindi naman dapat isiwalat, eh, may pagkakamali ang magsiwalat nito. In other words, we follow the principle, we keep as private as possible the offenses that can be settled privately, and when it is just in the small circle, but it is a scandalous offense when it becomes open, common knowledge, and to the disrepute of the entire church. May sinabi sa Proverbs 6, 30 and 31, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Ang makikita natin dito ay, as in court, aggravating and mitigating factors are weighed. Tinitingnan natin at tinitimbang ang nakapagpapagaang kagaya ng taong tinukoy sa Proverbs because he is starving. Ay kumuha siya ng hindi sa kanya. At it does not deserve the kind of despising that without such a mitigating factor may deserve. Pero kapag naging publiko, when he is found, then he still must restore sevenfold. He still must be punished according to the law. So we consider aggravating, yung nagpapabigat, and mitigating factors. Excommunication must precede abandoning the offender to the court. Dito naman papasok yung mga nagtatanong, paano kapag nag-murder o may ginawang ganitong heinous crime under the law, then we must first excommunicate para hindi na siya bahagi ng iglesia. I'll say something more about excommunication in the next lesson. But we must first excommunicate before abandoning the offender to the court because by then, he is no longer part of the church. Kaya mali yung nagsasabing itinatago natin ang offender mula sa korte o sa batas. Hindi totoo yan. Kundi kung hindi ka handa na itiwalag ang isang miyembrong nagkasala, ang ibig sabihin nun ay nagsisika pa rin tayo para sa kanyang panunumbalik. Ngayon, kung iniisip mo na hindi na siya dapat miyembro, then itiwalag siya at hayaan na magbayad siya sa batas kung kinakailangan. So, but for as long as the person is a member of the church, we look for the restoration of that member. But an offense can be such a scandalous nature that excommunication may be resorted to. At pagdating sa scandalous offense, failure of discipline imputes the scandal on the church. Okay, hindi yan maiiwasan kapag hindi mo dinisiplina ang isang pagkakasalang naging iskandalo, isipin ng mundo na ang iskandalo niyan ay idurugtong sa pinababayaan ng iglesia. At ayaw natin ng ganung reputasyon para sa iglesia. What we remember here is that as much as I've mentioned restoration of the offender as a purpose of church discipline, there is another. Church discipline is an act of church self-preservation. Ay nagsisikap rin ng iglesia na ingatan niya ang kanyang pagkakakilanlan sa mundo at kung kinakailangan tanggalin ang isang nagkompromiso ng ganung pagkakakilanlan sa mundo. Itong sabi ni Pablo when he advised the church in 1 Corinthians 5 about giving to Satan the person who is guilty of a scandalous offense, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. Kaya ang usapin na rito, sinasabi ni Pablo, ay ang inyong pagkakakilanlan bilang iglesia. Huwag kayong mahaluan ng magkukumpromiso sa inyong pagkakakilanlan. Kaya narito ang ikalawang uri ng disiplina na dapat gawin sa iglesia, not only doctrinal offenses, but also on moral offenses. Kaya ilagay natin ang ating pag-iisip sa tamang kalagayan. Ang tamang pag-iisip ay the moral standard in the church is maintained for the members' holiness, including the censures. Kaya wala, hindi lang tayo may doctrinal standard, kundi meron tayong moral standard. At ito ay para sa kabanalan ng mga miyembro, kasama na ang pagdidisiplina kung ito ay makompromiso. Kaya ang tamang disposition at pag-iisip, I will support the right application of censures, whoever may be involved. But that also brings us to our duty individually as members. I will, by God's grace, faithfully act in covenant faithfulness to my brethren to avoid escalating to church censure. sinabi ko na sa formative discipline na ang mga miyembro ay merong mutual correction and admonition para ma-prevent na ang corrective discipline. Ito ang sinasabi rito. If we were only covenantally faithful to each other, there are matters of church discipline that would not have escalated into public censure kung sa umpisa pa lamang ay naging tapat tayo sa ating kapatiran. Ngayon, ang maling pag-iisip kung pairali natin ang nananatili nating kasalanan, I see the moral standard of the church as a holier-than-thou imposition on fellow sinners. So, iniisip nito, pare-pareho naman tayong makasalanan, kaya nagkasala, hayaan mo na lang. Eh, totoo yan sa sinabi ko na internal, personal, private matters, but when it becomes a moral offense, a disorder, and scandalous especially, then hindi pwedeng kanya-kanyan pagpapabaya na lamang. At ang nagiging ugali na ganitong pag-iisip ay, I will consider the moral life of each individual member as his own to answer for to God. Well, it's wrong. It's not only that you answer for your sin to God, you will. But in matters that are censurable, you also answer to the church. Pero bigyan natin ito ng positibong hamon. Ano bang dahilan ng disiplina? Discipline is the way for the offense not to define the offender. Kung magpasakop lang ang nagkasala sa disiplina ng iglesia, hindi kailangan na ang kanyang naging kasalanang dinisiplina ang siyang magiging pagkakakilanlan na niya habang buhay. Hindi kailangan ganun. Pero yan ang dahilan na meron tayong disiplina. Kaya nakita natin, ang pagdidisiplina ay kasama ang doctrinal offense, kasama ang moral offense. Lagi lamang nating isipin na ang disiplina sa iglesia, maging sa kanyang corrective nature, is for the purpose of maintaining the doctrinal standard of the church as well as its moral standard. Doctrine and the moral life that derives from it, that is the very definition of being holy. And that is why discipline must be maintained. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. At sana ay pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.